I thought it might be a good exercise in this exposition, the first exposition of a psalm, to see how a great expositor of the Psalms, St. Augustine, we have, I think it's four volumes like this, and he goes through the whole Psalter. It's that side. Yes. It's that size. That's what I want to show you. Okay. Now, every psalm has a title given by the Hebrew editors and then either translated or given a different title by the translators. And so this psalm, Psalm 5, starts, that is a psalm of David. And this, the title in Augustine's collection of psalms, for her who receives the inheritance. The feminine pronoun, I'm reading from Augustine now, the feminine pronoun is used of the church which receives eternal life as its inheritance through our Lord Jesus Christ, so as to possess God himself, and so as to be blessed by holding fast to him in accordance with the promise, blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the meek, he's going from the Beatitude. What earth is meant other than that of which it is said, you are my hope, my portion in the land of the living? And this expression is even clearer, the Lord is my allotted inheritance and my cup. So what does it mean to say that they will inherit the earth, you see? Alternatively, he's trying to figure this out by looking through the Bible. The church itself is referred to as God's inheritance, as in the following text, which is Psalm 2. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. That hasn't totally happened yet. But if the Lord so wills, see, the whole world would be Catholic and know the Lord and know Jesus and sing his praises and feed on his body and blood, and there'd be no more war, and there'd be people to help when there is difficulty, and to forgive when there's sins. But we're not there yet, huh? Therefore, God is said to be our inheritance because he himself feeds us and supports us. My inheritance is God. That's what I'm looking forward to. God's made out a last will and testament for me. Not when he dies, he doesn't die, but when I die. And what do I get? God himself. You see? Therefore, God is said to be our inheritance because he himself feeds us and supports us. That's Augustine now. We also are spoken of as God's inheritance because he himself takes charge of us and rules us. You see how these great geniuses stop and think about every word, whereas we read, when you read the Psalms, you stop and say, Lord, what does it mean? Where's an English translation here? See, give ear to my words, O Lord. Understand my murmur. Or pay attention to my murmur. Okay. That is why the voice in this psalm is that of the church, called to its inheritance, so that it, in turn, may be the Lord's inheritance. That's, this psalm is all about the church, the one we're reading, or did just read at Psalm 5. You see? And now it goes on. He starts to quote the psalm. Hear my words, Lord. Being so called, the church calls upon the Lord, so that with his help she may pass through the vileness of this world and reach him. That's why the church cries out this, you see. That means, you see, that when we're praying, it's the whole church that's praying. This one, Augustine says somewhere, this one calls out 20 centuries ago. Then this one calls out now, and another calls out 10 centuries from now. But they're all one. They're the one Christ calling out. And that's what he's saying, you see. So that she may pass through the vileness of this world and reach him. And now, the next thing, understand my cry. And that's the way that the Vulgate translates this Hebrew word. And so the psalmist gives a very clear idea of what this cry is, inasmuch as it is something interior from the chamber of the heart. It reaches God without any bodily sound. But when the voice of the body is heard, it is the voice of the Spirit that is understood. This may also be what it means for God to hear. He does so, not with the ear of the body, but with the presence of His majesty. You see how Augustine's trying to get to what's the meat of this? We're talking about God and relating to God. And that's the way the psalm opens up. And then the next line of that psalm, as there was in the Vulgate, give heed to the voice of my petition. I translated that, be attentive to the sound of my outcry, my King and my God. He has already suggested what sort of voice this is when he said, understand my cry. Now he goes on to continue, give heed to the voice of my petition, my King and my God. The Son is God and the Father is God, and the Father and the Son together are one God. If we ask about the Holy Spirit, no other reply is possible but that He is God. And so, when Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are spoken of all together, nothing other than one God is to be understood. Nevertheless, he's saying, when I say my God, I'm saying my Trinity. Because God is triune. Nonetheless, the Scriptures tend to use the title King of the Son. Therefore, in line with what Scripture says, the way to the Father is through me, my King and then my God, is correct. If, however, the psalmist did not say, give heed, in the plural but in the singular, for it is not two or three gods that the Catholic faith preaches, but the Trinity itself, one God. He's trying to tell us, you see, when we call on God, we're calling on three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In our mind, we may be thinking of the Father or the Son, but we're calling on them all, my King and my God. And so he's trying to break this open for his people. This is probably a Sunday sermon. It is not the case that the same Trinity can be spoken of now as the Father, now as the Son, and now as the Holy Spirit, as Sibelius believed. It was a heretic. No, the Father alone is the Father, and the Son alone is the Son. You see? And the Holy Spirit alone is the Holy Spirit. And this Trinity is none other than the one God. Now he's trying to clarify this for his people. Our imaginations can play tricks on us. Who are we talking to when we talk to God? We're talking to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's only one God. But we can, when the Lord says, for instance, when you pray, say, our Father, like I do. I say it as equal to the Father, you say it as His creature, but you say it with the same kind of love, affection, trust that I do. So when you pray, you say, Abba, Yitkadesh Shemak, Tete Malkutach. When you pray, you say, Abba. That's what Paul says in the letter to the Galatians, right? God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba. The Spirit creates in us the prayer of the Son. But we're talking to the Father in the spirit of the Son. That's the Christian prayer. So he's trying to bring that out here, you see. No, the Father alone is the Father, and the Son alone is the Son, and the Holy Spirit alone is the Holy Spirit. And this Trinity is none other than the one God. Why does this preacher do that? He has a big audience in front of him. No theologians there. Busy people trying to raise their families, working. I don't want you to be confused about God. There's one God, but he's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want you to know that and rejoice in that. So the preacher, Augustine the genius, is now Augustine the preacher, and that's why he speaks that way, you see? After saying, this is Romans now 11, after saying, from whom are all things, through whom are all things, and in whom are all things, thus hinting at the Trinity in Romans 11:36, the apostle did not add, to them be glory, but to him be glory. See what saints can do, how sensitive they are. And so, you see, from whom are all things, that's the Father. You see, through whom are things, that's the Son. To whom are all things, that's the Spirit. But then he says, to him be God, you see, to him be the glory, to one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to him be glory. So his people are learning Trinitarian theology even as he's preaching. You see, there's one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. And we can rejoice. And the prayer that is most characteristic of us as Christians is Abba. Because that's the prayer of the Son said to the Father, stirred up in us by the Spirit, right? God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba. God the Father has sent the Spirit of his Son, which is his Spirit, into us so that we pray like the Son, Abba, Father. That's our prayer. And that's why we ask this to our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. And so Augustine sees all that going on here in this Trinitarian allusion as we look at that first verse of Psalm 5. So we'll stop now.